Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Who I am is what I always preach on. I don't preach on anything else. I can't preach on anything else. I don't know anything else. I mean, I know the Word, and I'll preach on the Word of God, yes, but I can't speak on experience I don't have, you know? I can't come before you in a nice suit and be some whitewashed tomb. I can't. I'm a broken man. I don't just say that. That's who I am. And I just need to get comfortable. Sorry. And that's who I want to be to people. I'm not a pastor yet. I don't have the credentials. People will call me like youth pastor or, you know, Pastor Brock, and I appreciate it, but I can't stand it. I'm not a pastor. I have a respect for that position, and if I haven't earned it, I don't want to be called it. And not only that, is I don't want people to see me as pastor. I don't. Now, a lot of people always, you know, they hear that I'm going to preach, and so they're like, oh boy, better get ready. He's coming down. He's bringing it hard. And I'm edgy, apparently. That's a word that's used sometimes, and I don't want to be. I just want to be me, and I want to preach the gospel. That's what I hope to do this morning. See, there was a student in the youth. A lot of you know him. And you know my relationship with him is Isaac McPherson. He's away at college now, but me and Isaac were really close. And I know at times there was people that would see that and see it as, you know, maybe favoritism or see it as, you know, special treatment and things like that when I would be heading up the youth, yet me and him were so close, are so close. But the secret of it all was, I mean, it was really, I would treat anybody like that. I would be with anybody like that. The secret of it was is that he didn't see me as youth pastor Brock. He saw me as his friend. He saw me as just a guy. He saw me as a man. He saw me as a brother. Sure, he had reverence and respect for me that I had that position and I had some authority. But he didn't treat me like that. He treated me as a friend. And that is why me and him were so close. Because with him, I could make mistakes, and he could make mistakes, and me and him would understand. I could talk to him about anything. I could share with him, and he could do the same for me, and we would help each other. We would encourage one another. We would sharpen one another. I think also as, you know, Pastor Randy over there, as many of you call him Pastor Randy. See, I've never been in a church my entire life where my dad wasn't the pastor, okay? So he's always been my pastor. But he's never been my pastor. He's always been my pops. He's always been my dad. He's always been my friend. That's who he is to me. That's our relationship. It wasn't just a title. And so, what I want to talk about this morning, and it's going to tie into some other things, and I want to talk about God being God or God being God. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's good, because that means I get to preach on it now. Otherwise, that'd be a short sermon. I wouldn't be preaching on much else. There's a scripture that I want to read, and It's Jesus talking. And it's in John chapter 15. And it's verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. How do we perceive God? Is he that, you know, the title of God up in the sky? He's obscure being, higher power that just kind of points down saying, hey, how about this? Hey, how about that? And you get this and you get that. Or is he our friend? Is he this omnipresent being that is with us everywhere that we go? That is always with us, that loves us, that cares for us, that knows exactly what we're going through, is there in the valley and there at the top of the mountain. Wherever you are, he is there with you. That's who he is. He tells us he's our friend. It's not just a title. It's not just something far away. It's right there with us. Good times and bad, highs and lows, mistakes, success, error, he's there for it all. And wondering, I often wonder in my own life, is where, if he's always there, where is the life change? How come I still keep, you know, falling? How come I still keep making mistakes? How come I keep tripping up? And how come I keep doing this? And it dawned on me, and I preached a little bit on it on Wednesday night to the youth. Talked about embracing yourself, your new self, in Christ. When you do that, in Scripture it talks about it in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 22. It talks about, you know, putting off the old self and now taking on the new self. And the way that we live now changes. But I talked to the youth about how that vehicle now runs on only one thing. Whereas before, the way you lived, you were running on all sorts of stuff, right? All these worldly things you were thrown into your life that motivated you, that caused you to do what you do, that impacted your life, that you just kept, you know, feeding on. Now, when we become this friend of God and we need to embrace our new self, the fuel changes. But the reason I keep stumbling, the reason I keep tripping is because all of a sudden this new car I got, I'm fueling it with the old stuff. I need to change my fuel. I need to change my motivation. I need to change what I'm doing. And the biggest part of this is if you're like me, you are your own worst critic. There is nobody harder on Brock than me. There's no one that rips me to shreds like I do. Over some of the dumbest things. I remember playing church softball a few years ago. If I was in the outfield and I missed a fly ball, I was ripping myself apart all night. Well, it's partially because of how I was raised, and you know, you don't miss a fly ball. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying I wasn't raised and miss no fly ball. I wasn't raised to hop up on a hot grounder. It was you dive and sacrifice your body to get in front of it, bruise or not. It doesn't really matter. You stop the ball, okay? Well, let's not get sidetracked though. Nobody's a harder critic than I am. And so when God's love shows up and he tells me he's my friend, and the kind of friend that keeps no record of wrongs, the kind of friend that loves you no matter what, the kind of friend that believes you can do anything, all of a sudden, me, in my mind, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I come to church and I believe in it, and I believe it for other people, but I can't accept that, because I know I don't deserve it. I know what I've done. I know what I do. I know what I've been through, and I can't allow myself to accept this. And when I don't allow myself to accept this, all of a sudden, I'm not fueling the car the right way. That new being that I am, that new person that I have become in Christ Jesus, throwing off the old self, putting on the new, when I can't accept God as my friend, that new self starts to fade away, and I start putting on my old self. I start living the old way. Or I start living this weird combination of both. And then that's where you get, you know, the whole two-faced flip-flop. Yeah, whatever. We've been there. I've been there. See, realizing that that's what grace is. Something we don't deserve. That's what God has for us. That's kind of the kind of friend He is. That He hands you and gives you something you do not deserve. Equipping you. Making His plans known to you. And I'm just sitting here like, what? Me? Me? You know, I stand up here in my suit, shirt tucked in, you know, all looking all nice. Oh, yeah, sure. Give me the plans, Lord. I'm wonderful. I look great. No. That's not it. That's not it. I'm messed up. I don't just say these things up here. I don't just say it because it's a tactic of being relatable. And tell you I'm in the same boat as you. I'm in the same boat as you, for real. That's who I am. How can I be up here? Because I've accepted God's grace. How can I go on living my life? Because I've accepted His grace. I've let His love change my I've let it change my thinking. Well, start to change my thinking. I'm not going to claim that it's changed it all the way yet, because I still know that I don't deserve it. And I struggle with that. You know that scripture verse that talks about love your neighbor as yourself? And then we always bring that up. You know, you've heard it brought up before, and it's been brought up since forever, it seems. And we bring that up. And it's always about, well, maybe if you loved your neighbor as much as yourself, because you love yourself so much. I don't think that's it. I think we've had it backwards. I think it's that we haven't loved ourselves. I haven't loved myself. And that may be the reason why I'm not loving others. Because I'm judging others the same way I judge myself. And I've been judging myself a little too harshly. Not that I should be getting off scot-free. Not that, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. Not that I'm not belittling all that. But I'm telling you, when we come to know Jesus, when we come to know God, there is a grace and a love that surpasses our human understanding. See, we have been stuck in this world. We have been raised by humans. As great as your parents are, as great as my parents are, we've been raised by humans and human understanding with a little bit of biblical principles if you were raised in church. But realize when God comes in, it upsets everything. It changes everything. And too often our perspective and our human understanding, we hear, oh, God is life-changing. The life change means that I'm going to go from here and never make a mistake again. That's not the life change. The life change comes in after you made the mistake again. How do you respond to it? Are you going to let it beat you down? Are you going to let it rob you? Are you going to let it instill other problems in your life? Are you going to let it take away everything around you? Are you going to start living in fear rather than in faith? Fear that you're going to make the same mistake? I'll tell you what, I am the most fearful man on the planet. I am the most fearful man on the planet. And the reason why a lot of people may not know that is because one of my fears is that people will know I'm afraid. I got to be a man's man. I got to be a man. I'm not afraid of nothing. But dude, you get me in a room as a spider. You put me in a room with some snakes. Snakes, I'll lose my mind. Spiders, you know, they're just small enough where I could probably just about kill any single one of them. But snakes, man, those things are slippery, slimy. Oh, little demons on earth. And then you got demons of the air like bats. Forget those things, man. I'm not into that, you know. I'm not into, like, you know, animal cruelty or anything like that, but there are some animals that need to be put down. Okay, when you see them, they're up there. But see, these are small things. You know, heights, they bother me. I shouldn't say I'm afraid of heights. Like, if I was standing on the top of one of those towers where it's like just a little circle thing, you see people taking like the selfies. Now, that I would be afraid of. But heights in general, they just give me a little anxiety. A little bit of an uncomfortability. And I'm not talking about like at the top of a ladder. I really don't care about that. If I fall, it's in my genes that I'll survive. So. But. You get me in like a really tall skyscraper building, and I'm in the middle of the building, even if there's not a window. It's in the back of my mind that I am in the sky, and it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Not to the point where anybody's going to notice, not to the point where I'm going to do anything, but I know it's there. But I don't let it, obviously I'm not going to let anybody know that. Now, airplanes, that's a different story. I have a theory that we have never actually achieved flight. It's just that they jet you up in the air with so much energy that you're basically just falling the whole time and they just time it just right. 'Cause flying scares me. That honestly scares me. That is a level of anxiety that I cannot deal with. You know, if I'm in a building, like I said, I can usually cover that up. Not a big deal. But if I'm in an airplane, I don't do so hot. And when I'm alone in an airplane, like nobody by me that I can talk to, because see, when I get nervous, when I get scared, I talk. Or in an uncomfortable situation, I was at North Central last year visiting at Praise Gathering, which is a Wednesday night worship thing, and this girl decides to pass out. Okay, maybe she didn't decide to pass out, but she passed out. And me and my friend, I'm just like, do we kick her to see if she's alive? Like, what do we do? No, I'm kidding. My friend, whose girlfriend is a nurse, but just started as a nurse, so she, I don't know, she... That was her excuse. We were like, oh, she's a nurse. And she's like, well, I just started. And I'm like, don't you go to school for like ever to be a nurse? Like, how is that your excuse? Anyway, She says, drink some water. It's okay. It's going to be okay. And then they're like, well, she can't really walk. Well, does the school, she, the one other girl who's a musician, so she was no help. And except, you know, even a musician has a phone. So she calls security and says, hey, do you guys have any wheelchairs? Oh, we don't have any real estate. What? No. That's literally what they thought she said. And they started talking about houses. But I'm like, there's a woman here passing out and we need a wheelchair. Oh, sorry, we don't have one. I'm like, what? You're a university. How do you not have a wheelchair? I mean, we're a church and we got like a remote control one. And which, if the battery's dead, don't look at me. But it, so they said, well, in the gym, there's these carts. Ever been to like Sam's Club and they have the bulk carts that are like, they're like flatbed carts? I'm like, are you kidding me? This isn't like a dying cow. Like, this is a person. So then me and my friend, he kind of volunteered, both of us, go figure. And so we have to, you know, throw our arms over us and carry her. Which, it's late at night, and you're going onto a girl's floor. You're not supposed to be there, but, you know, you're trying to be nice. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is so awkward. Because then both of her friends are there looking at her like, because me and my buddy are carrying her. And I'm like, this is just weird. This other girl is doing something in sign language. Even though she speaks perfect English, nobody's deaf. But she's speaking in sign language, and I was like, I saw her do, like, I'm not just trying to be funny. I'm not even kidding. This is one of the things she did. Now, not all of it, but pretty close. She was doing this thing, and then she went, and I'm like, what does that mean? What is that? I asked her. All of a sudden, things got so awkward, I had to talk. And I said, what does that mean? And she's like, what? And I was like, this. In my world, I got slapped for anything like that. What is that? And she, that's when I know. That's when I know I'm being edgy. People that listen to the podcast are going to be like, what is he doing? Oh my word. Just, never mind. But I'm just continuously talking. Just trying to, okay, yeah, moving on. So how was your day? And, you know, just trying to just get this over with as fast as we can. But then, you know, she was milking it, I promise you. She started kind of walking on her own. But then as soon as we were like, oh, well, I need to take a break. And it's like, oh, my word. It took us like 45 minutes to take her to her room. I mean, it's not like the campus is that big. But anyway, all that to tell you that I ramble when I get nervous. When I get freaked out, when I get scared. And so on the plane, when there's nobody around me, I'm just like, I almost took the chair with me when I stood up. Because I'm just gripping it so hard. And just absolutely struggling with it. I can be paralyzed in fear, I realized, when I was on a plane by myself. But see, those kinds of fears, heights, airplane, snakes, those, you know, those are small things, you know. They're not, I mean, they're a big deal to some people. To me, they're, you know, they're there, but they're nothing major. But there's the other fears, you know, feeling inadequate, not being cut out for ministry. What, being disqualified for ministry, not being good enough for ministry. Not being good enough to help someone, or someone's in need and I'm not able to meet the need. You know, fear of never falling in love. Fear of that I will always mess it up when it gets close. Now, this is not a go matchmaker for me or anything. Please, no. I'm not that scared. Fear of hurting those around me. Fear of losing my family. Fear of losing friends. These fears that come into my life and cause me to act out. When in reality, I need to be accepting God as my friend and having faith in Him that, yeah, there's things that make me uncomfortable, things that give me anxiety, things that cause me to worry, things that can absolutely, I know somebody in here has been there. You're out with the friends or you're in the middle of a project and the fear comes in and you think about it. And you think a little too long, and all of a sudden you got to tell your friends, oh, hey, sorry, I got this. And you got to jet. Or you just put the project down and you say, what's the point? And the fear comes in and cripples you. And it takes over. And whatever the excuse was, that's not really where you're going. You're just going to be alone. You're going to just do whatever it is that you always do. When that happens. See, that is acting out in fear. And when we act out in fear, there is a lack of faith. And when we do not have faith or we are lacking in faith, we act outside of God's will. That's the reality. Because see, on my own strength, I fail. Every time. 10 out of 10. I can promise you that. In my short life, I can tell you every single time when I tried to be in control and I said, God up there, hopefully it works out, instead of, hey buddy, let's attack this. When I just said, God is up there somewhere, looking down, He's not in my life, He's not actually there, He's not actually my friend, I'm in the valley all by myself, and I tried to take control, I failed. Not only did I fail, but maybe my failures impacted others around me. And then my fear in the beginning of losing those close to me, then it just happens anyway. We have to allow ourselves, not that we have, you know, necessarily some authority, but in a way, we need to allow ourselves to accept what we do not deserve. To become someone we're not in Christ Jesus. We need to embrace ourselves, which is the hardest part. The hardest part. Doesn't matter if it was 5 minutes ago, or if it was 2 years ago, or if it was hours, months, whatever the time frame is. You need to be able to go to God as your friend. Who, remember, keeps no records of wrong, who loves you, doesn't mean He doesn't remember the sin. It means as soon as you confess, slate is wiped clean. You are free. You are a new person. Guess what, though? You need to start living as a new person. Regardless of what it is, you need to allow yourself to accept what you do not deserve to become someone you're not. That's what it is to be a Christian. It's not that all of a sudden the life changed. Oh, we're completely different. We walk out of here and we never sin again. I mean, hey, that'd be cool. But the problem is I'm stupid. I'm human. I sin. I have carnal desire. Doesn't mean I can't be a godly person. Doesn't mean I'm not a godly person. God is with us. He is our friend. He has made His plans known to us. It's amazing how effective that is when we actually allow that to be the case, instead of treating Him like some far off, up in the sky God. When we actually allow ourselves to accept what we do not deserve, to become someone better, to become someone different, to become someone who, when they make mistakes, they bounce back. They know that that's not who they are. It doesn't define me. What defines me was the work done on the cross in Jesus' name. And that is the love that God has for me. Why do I not love myself the same way? Like I said, I can't preach a message that isn't from my life, that isn't from something I've gone through. So how can I expect to love someone the way God does if I can't love myself the same way? I encourage you this morning to allow yourself to accept what you don't deserve. His grace, His mercy, His love that will plant in you hope. It's a powerful thing, hope. That will strengthen your faith so you do not have to live in fear or act out in fear. That you are good enough. That you are good enough. That you are a good person. That though we sin and make mistakes, you are still a godly person. Because God is your friend. It's not a title. It's a relationship. God the Father. He's not my pastor. He's my dad. Isaac wasn't some student. He was my brother. There's a lot of people in here that I'm friends with. It's the same thing. God is our friend. I'm not saying anything I've done is just, oh, forget about it, get it, I'm doing it. But in a way, I gotta let go. You gotta let go. And you keep this process in your life and you keep thinking, oh my word, it keeps coming up. Why does it keep coming up? Why does it keep happening? Why does it keep coming up? And why does it show up? And why do I trip and all this stuff? And it's like, well then, why are you carrying it around? Maybe that's why. Maybe you're the one that keeps bringing it. Let it go. And embrace your new self in Christ Jesus. Embrace it. Deserve it or not, not the question. The question is, will you embrace it? And I'm telling you, you need to.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.